Hallelujah. Thanks be to God of heaven that we have been able to open our eyes this morning, get here. I don't know if you walked here, drove here, took the bus or whatever, but he allowed us to be here again. And this is before the end of the year. Oh, man, I know it's been a breeze for you guys. It seems like it was a breeze for me. Last week was a breeze for me. People ask me, how was your week? I say, you know what? I know it was good. I don't remember what happened, but I know it was good. So this year just went by so fast. I'm not going to, you know, Christmas is coming. I'm not preaching a lesson dealing with Christmas or just the spirit around Christmas. Today I'm talking about how God is more than enough. How he's just so much more than enough. You know, maybe this is what I'm going to do. For some of my sister's sake who take notes, what I'm going to do is give the verses right off the top, all right? That way, I think you can write them down and then we'll go through them. Acts chapter 14, 22. Will be one of the verses we talk to. I'll try to give them in the same order. The main scripture is Philippians 4. That was read earlier. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. And then we go down to verse number 19. But that's Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13, verse number 19. Acts chapter 14, 22. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 37. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. First John chapter 5. Verse 4. And Ephesians chapter 1, 18 through 19. All right. Now, I might just quote them in passing, so I don't think I'm going to take a long time to go through all these scriptures, but I may just quote them in passing. So those are the scriptures for today. Now, as I was going to say, I don't like weakness in myself. I'm not fond of weakness in myself. I just always had a spirit, I think, in me to be a conqueror, to be a conqueror. And when I got to know Christ, it just become more powerful in me just to want to conquer things, not barely make it, not just barely have enough strength to. No, I want to defeat, you know, have more than enough strength to conquer. And God has called us, each one of his children, to be conquerors. All right. That does not mean that we barely win battles, but that means that we overpower the enemy with so much force that the enemy has no choice but to back up, turn around and run the opposite way. Now, so what I'm talking about today, the topic of today is called More Than Enough. And I'll read what was read earlier just out of, this is the Holman Christian Standard. So you may have a slightly different word order, but it means the same thing. So Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11. It says, I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. You all see that? I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. There's a secret to this, he says. There's a mystery to it. There's something that we must know to be content. It just doesn't come naturally. You know, the human spirit, the fleshly side of us, is just not wanting to be content with anything that we have, anything that we are given, right? That's just not in us. And to a point, that's a good thing, Because if we were just content, we wouldn't want to prove or progress or improve in this life. We would just say, hey, this is just it. This is just it. So it's not good to be content in all things, in all areas, but we should be striving to grow. Our body physically grows, and we have to mentally grow and spiritually grow as well. But he says in circumstances that are on the outside of him. You see, those are the things he's talking about. He says, I have learned to be content. I have found the secret, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him or Christ who strengthens me. And he's talking to Philippi because they were able to help him out on his missionary journey before. And he was telling them how, look, you all did a good job. And you took me a long way. I was able to do a lot of work with the little bit that you gave. He said, but I've learned the secret to get around, to do a lot, to do more than what anybody would imagine with the little that God would give me. So let's look at verse 19. He says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So Paul being out there. All right. Now, the interesting thing is Philippians, you know, he was having a party pretty much in jail. He's in jail, but he doesn't have the spirit of being in jail. He has a spirit of looking out for those who are on the outside. That's why he says, I'm praying for you while I'm in here. I'm not having a pity party. I'm thinking about you all. That's why he says, look, I know you all have been helping me out and I got your gift and things like that. But he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say his poverty in Christ Jesus. He says his riches. Therefore, that means more than enough in abundance that he has to offer us. So let's get more practical now, okay? Let's get more practical. Acts chapter 14, 22 tells us, and I'll give you a chance to get over there. And meanwhile, I talk about some of the things that Paul was going through. We read it, I believe, some Sundays ago when I was talking about God's strength, relying on God's strength. And 2 Corinthians, I didn't give you all that, but I just know. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, in defending his apostleship, he talks about the things that he went through. And a lot of the things that he went through were things that we just, I think if we went through, a lot of us might have wanted to throw down our Christian faith at a time or two. And Paul, he's a human. You know, some people look at these apostles and say, oh, they were, you know, they had something that we don't. They had the Holy Spirit in a certain measure that we don't, but they were still human. They still had the decisions, the opportunities to sin and fail, and they did. They made mistakes. Paul had to go into Peter and tell him, look, you are acting wrong towards some people, which were the Gentiles at that time. He said, you're acting wrong. So we know that people are going to be people. We're going to make mistakes. So Paul had to go through a lot of things. And he goes down a list of saying, and I'll just read just some of them. You don't have to turn there. Like I said, he says, I've been beaten, even near death. I've been put in prison. Many times I've had lashes up to 39. Three times I was beaten with rods by the Romans. Once I was stoned by my enemies. You know, that's with some stones, some real rocks, you know, that's flying at your head. This is something serious. We may read about it, but when you put yourself in that situation, you find yourself thinking about it again and saying, man, what would I have done if I was Paul? You know, because the more you try to do right, it seems like the more that is going wrong in your life, that's the opposite, right? That's the opposite of the prosperity gospel, what people teach to say, look, come to Christ. Your life will be just, you know, a walk in the field after that. But that's not true. So I'm just going to keep going. He says he was stoned three times. He was shipwrecked. You know, at that time, you probably looked up to God like, God, what are you doing to me, right? I'm out here trying to go from place to place, preaching the gospel. And you're causing things to happen to the ship where I can't even, you know, you're not making it easy. I'm doing your will. That's what we probably would ask. And I'm sure Paul probably had some times of just wondering, what's going on, God? What's going on? I know you're going to get us through, but what's going on? He said, I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. On freaking journeys, I faced dangers from rivers. I had dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country. Man, he just had dangers wherever he went. There was trouble. So, yeah, you may raise your hand and say, you have trouble, right? We all have trouble in our life. He said, the more I got closer to God, it seems like the more things, you know, the more Satan wants to throw in there. And I understand that because Satan already has those who are his, right? So he's spending his time going after us who he does not have. But he says, there are dangers among false brothers. Yeah, we have that sometimes too. People who want to be, they want to create dissension in the brothership, in the brotherhood. We know this. He says, many sleepless nights. You know, you would think, well, being a Christian, man, it's just, you know, everything, it's like you're sleeping on the air, you know. You're sleeping on the clouds. Everything's going to be just fine. But that's not what he says. See, the Christian life is not for punks. The Christian life is not for what you may call sensitive at heart. No, no. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you're going to have to rely on somebody who's more than enough to get through these kind of things. He says, many sleepless nights. He said he suffered hunger and thirst. You know, now I know we quote, you know, passages in the Old Testament that says, hey, I was young, I was old, I never saw the righteous forsaken or, you know, their seed begging bread. Well, he was hungry sometimes. He was. He says, I was thirsty sometimes without food. I was cold. I was lacking clothing. Now, I don't know all the things that he went through and how he was lacking clothing and things, but the fact is he had some trials, some temptations, some things that many of us will never go through in our life here in America. I don't know what will happen in the future, but I have a feeling that we won't suffer a lot of these things that he had to suffer. And he was doing it for the sake of Christ. All right. So let's get back to Acts chapter 14 and 22. So he says he was going about strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying what? Through many tribulations, through many trials, through many pains, basically, through many problems, he says, we must enter the kingdom of God. So if you want to enter the kingdom of God, he says, you got to go through some trials. You have to go through tribulations, and these are going to be tough tribulations, all right? When you think you're strong, that's when some things are going to come in where, hey, you know, it's going to challenge you. And I talked about that before, how it's like strength training. We have resistance against our muscles when we're strength training. Well, that's the same thing when we're doing spiritual training. We're going to have resistance in our lives. So he says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And some of you all know this by heart. Yeah, quote it. Anybody know it? Indeed, all who desire to live godly. Like I said, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, if you desire to live godly, he says, if you want to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. It's just going to happen. So now if you just get along with everybody all the time, you have to question yourself. Do you really take a stand on things? You really have to question yourself because there's no way, unless you're playing both sides of the fence, there's no way you're going to get along with everybody and everything, especially if you stand up for something. What Christ stood up for, you know, you're going to create some enemies because you're going to go up against groups that say, oh, well, especially at this time of day, you're going against homosexuality. You're speaking against shacking up or living together outside of marriage. You're speaking on things that the world, it says, is none of your business, right? Stay out of my business. But when you stand up and you try to help people get closer to God, you're going to suffer some persecution. So, like I said, you just may want to look at your life. If you're just getting along with everybody all the time, that means you're probably not saying some things you may supposed to say. You're probably shutting your mouth, letting things go, opportunities go when you should be spreading the gospel. Yeah, that's probably the case. All right, but let's go on. So he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Also in that same book, so you shouldn't have to go far. He says, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Do you know who you believed? Do you know who you have believed in? You know, I know we put our faith in Christ when we were baptized, but have you gotten to really know him, who you have put your initial trust in? You see, if you don't get to know him, your trust will begin to fade. If you don't know who you're depending on, your trust in that person will begin to fade because you will start to doubt whether they really want the best for you. You will start to doubt, do they really have the power to get things done through you? You will start to doubt. Think about it. If you knew nothing about your parents, whoever took care of you, if you knew nothing about them, you just know, well, initially they gave me some food. They took care of me one day. But you don't continue to get to know them, their personality, what they're like. You will begin to lose your faith even in that person. But he says we need to be convinced that he is able to guard what we have entrusted to him until that day. I'm going to go through these verses kind of quickly. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. This is also something that I believe a lot of people may know. You want to definitely mark this scripture. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? See, these are things that Paul was going through, and he knew other people were going through. But we just read. Remember, he said, I was going through tribulation. I had distress, sleepless nights, persecution from my brothers, people that are supposed to be, close to me. And then people that's not. I had it on both sides, he says. Famine. Nakedness. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know too many of y'all running around without no clothes on. Thank God. But the fact is, they had to go through some things, peril, and even facing the sword. Sometimes they had to go through it. But he says, just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly. So I hate to look at the sad side of things. I'm not trying to throw you all the sad things. What I'm doing is building a case, all right, because there's things that we're going to go through. Yeah, we just know this, all right? There's a Christian life that we must live, okay? But in all of this, he says, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. That don't mean we barely win. That don't mean that we just get past. We just make it through. He says we overwhelmingly conquer the enemy. We conquer through him who loved us. So I'm tired of looking at Christians who are so weak and malnourished. I'm tired of looking at Christians who seem like they just relying on somebody else to pick them up all the time. I'm tired of it. Now, I'm not saying I'm not patient with people. We both be patient with one another, all right? But I'm saying is, I just know that our churches, I have a vision, I see where we could be if we just moved in the strength and power of Christ. I know we could be a lot farther than we are. But I hope I'm not preaching and stepping on anybody's toes, all right? But the fact is, this needs to be said, all right? There are weak Christians. Like I said, I always wanted to be somebody who was not weak. I don't want to be looked at on there like, oh, yeah, he was weak. I want to know who I rely on, where I get my strength from, and that it's a reservoir that never runs out. There's a reservoir where I can always go back to so we can conquer through him. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says that now to him who is able to do far more abundantly. See, I'm emphasizing these things overwhelmingly more, far more abundantly. That's like a triple right there. Far more and then abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. What are you asking and what are you thinking? What are you asking of the Lord and what are you thinking? What are your thoughts? What do you want him to do for you? Hopefully they're according to his will. Hopefully that's just not for selfish, pleasures and selfish desires. But when you ask for things, when you need strength to do things that the Lord really wants you to do, then you'll have some testimony in your life, I'm telling you. Then you'll find out, you'll look back and you say, man, I really came a long way. I don't know how I did it, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know that the Lord has been working through me. That's when you have testimony. But he says we can do far more. And he can do far more. And he wants to do far more beyond what we can ask and what we can think. Because it is his power that works within us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 tells us, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Some of your Bibles may say conquerors, all right? But he says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. Our faith overcomes the world. That's why he tells us not to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Ephesians chapter 1, 18 through 19 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So I'm just trying to, you know, refresh and rekindle and hope that our eyes and our heart are enlightened so that we can understand, so that we can know what is the hope of his calling. Because if you don't know the hope of his calling, you're not going to strive to get there. And you're definitely not going to pray for what you need to get there. You see, where you are is not where he wants you to be. He's taking you somewhere. We're just pilgrims walking through. Amen. Let me get an amen. I know you guys don't, y'all not very outspoken, I understand, and things like that. But man, when I read these words, I told you all, this is, I know we can read it like a newspaper, but this is the word of God. It should speak power into our lives. It should wake up the dead bones in us and encourage us. Now, if you're just too, you know, pretty to move, you know, you can't say amen. You can't do, you just, that's between you and God, all right? But the fact is, when I read this and when I read what happened to people who came in contact with our Lord, they moved. They moved. It's, you had no choice. You could not sit still and not speak up about what the Lord has done in your life. But like I said, maybe, you know, it's just a little different here. But the fact is, he says, I pray that your eyes are open. So if your eyes are enlightened, then you will know the calling and the riches of his glory and the inheritance that you will get and that you're getting. He says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? You see, we have surpassing power toward us who believe. Now, you have to look at life in a spiritual plane to see that power. Can you hear it? How many of us are willing to pass up on the fleeting pleasures just as Moses passed up the treasures of Egypt? How much can we look at the world and say, yeah, it's pretty, yeah, it shines, yeah, it sparkles, but I got way more coming to me. I got way more coming to me. Because what you're talking about is like a piece of sand. I don't want just a piece of sand. You know, I want the whole island. And that's what the Lord wants to give us, but sometimes we just can't wait for that, so we settle for the little piece of sand or the fleeting pleasures. But he was looking for the reward, and I hope we can too. Paul counted the wealth and the privileges of Judaism. You know, he had a lot of things going for him in Judaism, and he could have just stayed in that, because I'm sure he looked at it and he says, well, I'm not persecuted being a Jew. I'm not going through no problems being a Jew. I'm the one doing the persecuting. I'm fine. I'm doing the Lord's work. At least that's what he thought. He could have stayed in that position. But he says, no, you know what? No, I counted that. What I was living for, the accomplishments that I have gotten, I count that nothing. And he refused it and compared that to nothing compared to the surpassing value of gaining Christ. So what I would say is, look to Christ to satisfy your needs. First, think about what you think your needs are. And make sure that they align with what God says our needs are. Because you don't know yourself like God knows you. You can try to fulfill yourself. You can try to do it your way. But you will forever be uncontent. You will never know the secret that Christ is talking about. That Paul has revealed to us. He says the secret to being content is relying on the Lord's power. And understanding what he really wants for us.
Now, I did a lesson on his will for us, and I'm not going to go back over that. But the fact is, we have to align our will up with his. You could pray, you know, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, all you want. But if you do not really want to see his will done in your life on earth, what is the use of that prayer? So we have to align our wants and our will up with his. And then you will find your life and the things that you ask for will be different, and you will find yourself getting them. But if you, you know, if you find yourself, well, I don't know why God is answering my prayers. I'm not sure. Maybe they're not aligned up with what God wants for you. Maybe you are settling. Like I said, you know, I watched the Spurs. Well, they've been losing lately. They've been losing lately. What, three games, I think? Two or three games in a row. But usually, they're winners. They win. They conquer their team. It may not be pretty. It may not be, you know, the most sharpest plays. But they do what they need to do to get the win. And they pass up on a lot of good shots to get the one great shot. They may have an open look. They may say, oh, yeah, I want to shoot this. But we have to understand, God finds the best shot. He finds the best for us. He doesn't want us to just take any old shot just because it's there, just because it's open, just because there's a doorway. Oh, yeah, I got to go this way. I got to. He has even more plan. So wait on the Lord. Focus on the Lord's will and his plan for you. Get into your Bible. Get in contact with the people who lived before us. And then you will find strength in your own life to do everything that he asks you to do and more. No matter what is going on, you won't have the same excuses that you may have now. Say, you know, I know this is going on, but I'm still going to be here for the Lord. I'm still going to accomplish much for the Lord. On behalf of him, I will go through these things to get what I have been promised, that inheritance. Now, today, if you have not been living for the inheritance, if you have not been putting Christ's kingdom first in your life here, well, if you haven't done it here, you will not get it later on. If you have not done it here, you won't get it later on. So I will encourage you, if you are not in the kingdom of Christ, the only way you can do that is by believing. We talked about having faith in him, but it doesn't end there because faith is an action word. It's belief acting. Belief is acting. So you have to believe in him, but you also have to do what he tells you to do. Believe and obey. Trust and obey. We sing that song a lot. Trust and obey. But the fact is, when you are obedient to him, you will believe him. You will repent of your sins. That means turn towards him. Turn away from your own self. Because I know a lot of times we live for our own kingdom on this earth. We don't even sometimes think about God's kingdom. We just think about gaining for our own kingdom. But he says all kingdoms will perish except for his. His is the everlasting kingdom. So you must turn towards him. Start living for him. That's what repentance is about. Confess his name before men, and he will confess you before his Father. That's what confession is about. And then you are baptized into the watery grave of baptism, where your old sins are washed away. You wake up a new person, in essence. You still have the same problems that you go through in life, but you are a new being, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you now have the fellowship of the saints as well to help you through this Christian walk on earth. If you need to do that today, come forth. Don't let it wait. Don't sit around wondering if I got another Sunday to do it, if I got another day to do it. You never know when the Lord will return. But he says, yeah, there will be no excuses because he has given you the time to do it. Now, if you have been a Christian, maybe you just still haven't put in the kingdom first in your life. Maybe you haven't been being obedient to his will. You can just repent of that. You don't have to be baptized, rebaptized, and things like that. No. You don't have to do that. You just come forth, repent, and confess your sin. And he says that the blood of Christ will continually wash away, continually cleanse you, because you are his bride, and he cares about you. So don't think that you walk too far away where you can't come back. He says he died for you, and believe me, he's still willing to live for you. So at that, whatever your need may be, we stand, sing the song of invitation. I bid you to come at this time.